All right, so another hour of open lines. I'm just having a great time. Hope you are too, wherever you are. Be careful if you're getting some bad weather out there. And we want you to be part of this show, so if you're driving and talking at the same time, if you need to pull over, we'll try to get you on as quickly as possible. We'll try and get you an open line, too, coming up, so you can join us on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Quick little piece on housekeeping here. We have a blog up tonight at coasttocoastam.com. If you want to, I've put all the crypto news stories on my blog. There's a couple of other things from earlier in the week that are kind of funny, too, if you want to scroll down a bit. But coasttocoastam.com, if you go to the blog, you'll see crypto news. And there was an item in there about tomorrow night's guest, Greg McBride. He's our first hour guest. And it's a really, he's got to tell his story his way. But you'll hear it tomorrow night. It's called Just Stop Eating So Much. And in light of all of the other stuff that's out there, all the pills that, you know, doctors say you should take or surgical procedures you should have, we just thought his story needs to be told, and he'll do that a little bit tomorrow night. Also, Jim Elvidge, who's an electrical engineer by trade, but he has solved the universe. He understands the universe. And if you want to understand it like he does, tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM, we'll get to that. In for George Norrie for tonight on Open Lines, this is Ian Punnett. Let's start with the big dog driving through Mississippi on the first-time caller line on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, big dog.
Hey, nice to talk to you. I just came out of St. Louis with all that snow yesterday, so I know what they're going through up there.
Yeah, a lot more than we're getting, I can promise you that. So where are you going to take us?
The guy was talking about the American flag, and I've got a kind of unique little story. Back in 2001, I picked up a load of, I pulled a tank truck, and believe it or not, I was pulling a load of seawater from Mexico down in Morgan City, Louisiana, and bringing it up to Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. And it's kind of weird because why do they need seawater from the Gulf of Mexico when they're surrounded by the North Atlantic over there? Mm-hmm. They said that it goes to the oil well up at the drilling. And they say the Gulf of Mexico water is saltier than brinier, and it helps in the drilling process. But anyway, I delivered up there on Canada Day, which I think was July 1st. This is 2001. I think it was a Sunday. And going through Canada, because I went in through Maine, went all the way across New Brunswick, and then across around the Horn there, down in Nova Scotia, down to Dartmouth. And it was odd because every other house had a Canadian flag on it. This is on Canada Day. It's their 4th of July. Every business had a Canadian flag on it.
Right.
People's cars had Canadian flags on. They're so patriotic up there. And then I delivered, and I start going back south, back to Louisiana, and the 4th of July, I couldn't find an American flag anywhere.
Yeah.
Very few businesses, no houses, no cars. And then less than 2 months later was 911. And it's almost like the American flag was cheapened because it took the United States being attacked for all of a sudden for everybody to start putting up American flags. It's great they did it, but when you overlay it on top of what I saw in Canada and the total lack of patriotism flags, this country's been so busy, you know, urinating on the flag, burning the flag, making fun of the flag, protecting their constitutional right to desecrate it. And then for everybody to be so patriotic, it was almost like the American flag was cheapened. And then a couple months after all this happens and all these flags have been flying on those little flags that they put on the windows of the car, all of a sudden they start blowing off and you start seeing American flags lying all over the highway. You know,
let's back up a little bit, because I think you make some interesting points, and I just want to jump in and say I don't know what the dynamic is for Canadian flag waving, and maybe it's different than this country. And I do think, and I don't know how you feel about this, but we have politicized the flag to a degree in this country that I don't think is good for us, where somehow flying a flag has become some sort of coded symbol for where you stand politically. And there's all this pressure by some people to kind of own the flag. And so I think that may be why some people resist flying the flag, is because they don't want to look like they are standing behind a political aspect of this country, not just the country. You know, like a lot of people, you see what I'm saying on that?
Yeah, I understand. It's almost like if you fly the American flag in my little North Baton Rouge subdivision, it's like you fly the American flag, everybody says, well, who's that weirdo, you know?
Well, but you part know? Of that, too,
it's like,
but part of that
like
is saying, because, but part of that's the other way around, too, that says if you don't fly the flag, you must not love this country. And
right.
So there's some of that is where I think people are pushing back on that. And I don't know that that same dynamic exists in Canada. So maybe that's part of it. But I'll ask you flat out question. And I lived in the South for most of my adult life, so I think I know the answer to this question anyway. What holds families together most often as we all get older and we move around the country? What holds families together?
Well,
weddings and funerals.
Well, you know, there's a girl at work. She's in the payroll department. She, you know, every Monday morning I say, well, what wedding did you go to Saturday?
Right.
She goes to a wedding every Saturday, you know.
Right. And it's weddings and funerals. And I think 9/11 was our national funeral. And it brought everybody together. It brought the family back together. And I don't know that that isn't just like how most families work. At a certain level where everybody's doing their own thing, it takes weddings and funerals to bring people together.
That particular trip up to Nova Scotia, just, you know, talking
right.
radio here, it was also weird because as I went across New Brunswick, I guess the Canadian, one of the Canadian versions of NPR is Radio 1.
Okay.
And that particular weekend, and this might be a programming idea for y'all, is they, because they call New Brunswick and Nova Scotia and what, the other little province up there, they call it the Maritime area. They call it the Maritime provinces. And all that particular day, they had Maritime ghost sports. And it was just the weirdest thing going all the way across the coastline across New Brunswick, and they had some of the eeriest maritime ghost stories. That just—I mean, some of them would just make your hair stand up on your arm.
I love that, and I've done one of those shows in the last couple of years, but I think I'm overdue for another. So that's a great reminder, and there's nothing better than that. We'll get our friend Captain Kelly back on the air or something and tell some of those.
There you go. Okay.
Thank you, Big Doug.
Nice talking to you.
It was a pleasure talking with you. And you're right. It would seem a lot cheaper for folks up in the Northeast to just, like, add more salt to the seawater that they already have, doesn't it, than trucking it up from the Gulf Coast. But, you know, what do we know? Let's get to Mark in Rochester, New York. See, that's my mother's side was the southern side, and all of my father's people lived in Rochester, New York. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Ian.
Hi, where are you going to take us?
Well, thanks a lot for sending all this cold, crappy weather our way, because I'm on the south side of Lake Ontario, and let me tell you what we've had all day long, but I won't.
Well, you got to call the people up in Alberta. We passed it along to you.
It was an Alberta Clipper.
Yeah, they sent it to us. We sent it to you.
Oh, geez, thanks so much. You know, I would love to get up to Minnesota sometime in my life. I love it. I love you guys. I love this show, and I'm so glad to get through. My whole point of getting through was earlier in the show, I think in the first hour, you had a gentleman call in about the smoking versus overweight, and because I'm a smoker and I'm trying to quit.
Right.
I'm trying to quit. I work at the University of Rochester, an outpatient medical center right
sure.
now. And boy, they just jump on me. Quit,
right.
quit, 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 quit. But at the same time, I think there are drawbacks to the weight issues, to the obesity in this country, in this world. And I mean, do you give up a plane seat for a person who's got to take up two, which I don't take that the wrong way. Nobody out there, don't take that the wrong way.
Well, you know, first of all, you know the connection. I think there's been some interesting early research that says that there's a connection between how our nation has stopped smoking and how our nation has put on weight.
And you know what it is?
They parallel each other in a very spooky way. When we started to, all of our non-smoking statistics were going, you know, in one direction while all the weight was going in another.
You know what I feel like, Ian? I'm sorry, Ian, is I went through years back, I went through an alcoholic problem, AA. You're always going to trade off one for the other. Now, if you're going to switch off your smoking, your crack, your whatever, pot smoking, drinking, whatever, you're going to replace it with something. And I'm just wondering, you know, they've hammered on us. They've hammered on us as a society, the smoking,
right,
the drinking, mad mothers against drunk driving, and I don't blame them.
Yeah,
I don't blame them whatsoever.
I think there's, you know, obviously when a behavior becomes risky for other people, that's a totally different thing. I mean, it's sort of, you know, not drinking and driving to me is like not smoking and pumping gas. I mean, I think that there are some fair rules we can draw beyond that. But I will just say, and I'll leave it here, Mark, that I've become fascinated with how in our society.
What would you do, though? I mean, we got an obesity epidemic, so they say, and I see it working in this medical center at the University of Rochester. What do you do? How do you stop these people?
Well, I think you are right in saying you're swapping one addiction for another, perhaps, and that people who have become, you know, it's easy to get food, and food becomes the cheapest kind of most socially acceptable drug. And so maybe that's what...
Because you're going to get a high off of it.
Right. And it's a lot easier for people like me to avoid an addiction like smoking because I never got started. So, I mean, I think maybe there's a generation of skinnier people who are coming. who were never addicted to anything, you know, who may not have to do a trade-off at all. But interesting. Well, pleasure talking to you, Mark. If you're ever driving down... 5 Mile Line Road in Rochester. Do you know where that is?
Oh my God! I just want. I'm going down there tomorrow. Sunday. I'm taking my son to his basketball game out in Fairport.
Fairport. So 5 Mile Line Road. There's a house at 2915.
2915.
2915. That was where my great aunt lived, and I used to go there and spend Christmases there all the time.
Oh my God! 2915.
2915. Okay. God bless you. Big pleasure talking with you, Mark. Go by there and just honk. My grand aunt's not there, so don't bother anybody. But I used to go there for our Yankee Christmases. Let's go to Ish in Hawaii on Coast to Coast AM. Am I pronouncing that right, or is it Isha?
Yes, it's Isha.
Oh, hi Isha. How are you?
Hi Ian. Hi, grateful. How are you doing?
Good. Now, is Isha a Hawaiian name?
Isha is actually short for a name, Ishaya, which Ish is Mayan, I-X. Many people maybe have heard of the Mayan Dreamtime calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So Ish is one of the glyphs. Like if somebody was, by their birth, they were Cancer, Aquarius, one of the zodiac signs. By a birth in a Mayan culture, you'd be one of the 20. And Ish is the representation energy of timelessness. And so...
And in
it's a
Hebrew,
spirit name, Isha. What's that?
And in Hebrew, it's woman.
Isha. Yes, correct. Yeah, it has many different. I've learned many different people have told me that, and that is one thing I've been told.
Yeah. So where are you going to take us?
Well, I'd love to take us deeper into the now, a little into the past, and into the future.
Go for it.
Great. So many thanks for this show and all the listeners. If we can all just feel where we are on the earth in this moment and at the same time feel the whole planet and then see our beautiful planet Earth amongst billions of planets and suns and galaxies and different formations and then come back to Earth here and recognize the preciousness of this ecosystem. And so that's deeper into this now, and we'll go 250 years into the past, before we had automobiles, airplanes, cell phones, computers, you get where I'm going with this, go just into that space on the earth before we acquired this knowledge to create these things. And then let's go forward into the future after 2013 and recognize that I was listening on hold and heard the quote, the question, will we be able to get to 2012? And I'm certain that the answer is yes for all of us who wish to really tune in with the earth where we are living now. And I feel so blessed to live here in Hawaii, where on a beautiful island where there's a number of freshwater springs. We can actually go and collect water from the earth, flowing, fresh, clean water. And I've been to a few places like that, one in Williams, Oregon, and a few places on the earth, and so special. So I'm just calling in to take us all to a place where we can look seven generations into the future, like many native cultures, indigenous peoples on this earth teach, to look seven generations into the future with every decision we make and see how are we affecting the earth, how are we affecting the water, the air, the elements that the humans need for living. Because at this point, we're really, I mean, we can see what we're doing, right? Cars have only been on the planet one century, and we're polluting our air. And I just learned a bit ago that we chop down mountains to make cars. So I'm thinking, how much of the earth are we going to chop up for how long for cars? You know, it's just been one century, and humans have been around for very long. So I'm just calling in to give thanks for the show and to the earth. And
on behalf of the earth, I say thank you. And I think that I think it was I like the world you live in.
Great. Well,
I like the world you describe. I like the place where you are.
You know, it's cool because Tommy said a similar thing, and I was raised very Catholic. My father went to a Jesuit seminary for 7 years, and went to Jesuit Catholic school for 13 years, et cetera, et cetera. And then when I was in my early 20s, I was living in South America in Peru. I speak Spanish, and I met a teacher there who's Peruvian, and he also works with Tibetan Buddhism and ancient medicine plants of the lands there. So one great teaching is that the Buddha, many people have heard of Buddha, and the word Buddha means one who is awake. And every human has that as our essence. So I also wanted to mention to that man who was talking about obesity and an addiction and moving from one to the other, this is something that the mind has just been taught. And I encourage everyone who hasn't seen it yet to see the movie The Secret. And you'll see that we have the ability to create this amazing, amazing, beautiful planet. And I just love the opportunity.
Thank you for all that, for squeezing that in there. And yeah, it makes you think, if the Buddha were going to school right now, though, would Mr. and Mrs. Buddha be getting a note from the teacher saying, your child is obese? Would the Buddha be served in Mississippi? Something wrong about that. Anyway, it's open lines, and that's what this is for, taking us in different directions. We'll find out where you're going to go next on Coast to Coast AM. In for George Norrie, who's got a cold tonight. This is Ian Punnett. So great guest coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast. Jim Elvidge will join us. We'll solve the universe. I hear some of that being reflected in these conversations tonight, people talking about the universe and our role with it. And he says he's got it all worked out. He's got a background in electrical engineering and a very interesting perspective, which he says he can prove. Coming up tomorrow night, we'll talk about it on Coast to Coast AM. Get back to your open lines. And I'm just I'm kind of wondering a little bit more whether there isn't somebody who might call from Canada to reply to Big Dog's question about all the flags up in Canada. Why did that seem so effortless for Canadians? Is there a different perspective on it than most of us down here in the lower 48 think of? Just curious whether anybody wants to explain that. We'll find out coming up on Coast to Coast AM. In for George Norrie, this is Ian Punnett. Let's pick it up with Tim, who's in Racine on Coast to Coast AM for Open Lines. Tim?
How you doing, Ian? The Watchman. Finally able to talk to you. Very nice talking to you. Great show. I wanted to talk to you tonight about that guy who called in earlier about William Cooper.
Right.
I'd also like to make a couple other comments, if possible, in time. So, first of all, William Cooper not only was a Navy high-security communications expert, but he knew too much. And he began to release much of the information when he got, well, if I can say it, pissed off about certain things that happened to him in his life due to the military. And what happened, essentially, he wrote a book called Behold the Pale Horse.
Okay,
and I highly recommend that you look into that.
Yeah, I looked him up during one of the breaks, and because I was curious, I remembered something else he had written, and I remember that title, but I've never read the book.
There's a lot of people who will downplay him. He's not like the guy from Texas. What's his name?
Alex Jones.
He's not like him at all. First of all, he's dead. And what happened essentially with him was the story is a government undercover car was outside of his house for quite some time, and he took a ride, and all of a sudden they found him dead on the side of the road with about 3.45s in his body. Now, he talked about things long before anyone else did about things that are coming to pass right now, the quickening, the UFO stories, the One World Order, the currency, the Euros, the Ameros. He talked about things that they basically told him to shut up about, and he didn't, and, well, something happened to him.
Okay.
So I would highly recommend his book. I'll take a look for that. I've been a long time listener way back when Art started out, and you know, I've been quite a avid fan for a long time, and I would of many publications that expressed across these wave lines, I would highly recommend the book Behold a Pale Horse to anyone who's listening right now. He talks about, he was considered the ultimate conspiracy buff, but
you've got to say
a lot of truth in what he had to say.
Right. All right. Well, let's just say that subject sold. You had one other point you wanted to make?
We're cold as hell here, too. I had a 2 or 3 foot drift off my house this evening.
How about that? Yeah.
And we used to call them up in the Northeast the Nor'easters. But I wanted to also just throw in real quick here that I agree with you on your hypothesis of the flag. But I would also throw in the weddings, funerals, and, of course, babies. And I have to, if you allow me, I would have to say to Isha, who sounds like a beautiful woman who is just experiencing life in its entirety, that for some reason she obviously has had the opportunity to get around the world and experience many things. But to a kid in the ghetto growing up, things are a little bit different than someone who has the mobility that some of us have.
Well,
I could just say this. You mentioned the pills and the doctors. I recently went to the doctor, and they prescribed me something that I looked up and on the internet and looked at, and I refused to take it, and I was expressed that they would no longer deal with me. And I won't go into detail about that because it's kind of personal, but I'm over 50 and I get the Art magazine. I'm not advertising there, but there's a very good article about doctors pushing pills these days.
Very good.
And cold is cold, buddy.
Good. Okay.
And
well,
I want to tell you, fantastic.
Thank
Keep being
Tim.
The watchman. I look forward to when you fill in.
Thank you.
And I want to say, as the last thing, accolades to George. I know he's sick. I know he had a problem. I could hear it in his voice.
Thank you very much, Tim. I'll pass it along, and I'm sure he will feel better soon. If not, we'll get able people filling in next week. But I hope he has a nice long weekend and he can bounce back. Jeff is west of the Rockies, Eugene, Oregon, on Coast to Coast AM. Jeff?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Jeff from Eugene, Oregon.
I established that. Where do you want to go?
Okay, I'm sorry. I was clicking off the speakerphone at the time. I guess that previous caller just now just kind of stole a lot of my thunder.
Don't tell me that.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Don't tell me you were going to say all of those things that he just said.
Pretty much. He didn't get quite into the detail, a little bit of the detail that I kind of wanted to get into.
You have more detail than that.
A little bit more in depth into the book of Behold a Pale Horse.
Of William Cooper. Yeah, I think I'll look forward to reading that soon.
Well, yeah, if there's one thing you should pay particular attention to is a chapter entitled Silent Weapons for Secret Wars.
Okay.
And this is our government manipulating the economy to destroy the American family. And this is very evident by, I'm sure you're old enough to remember, in the early 70s, the mid-70s, one income could sustain a household of four people. And now that's come to the point where you have to have two incomes, you have to have two working parents. And how many times did you hear about school shootings in the 70s?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, they did exist. I mean, I'm not, I grant you, I think that some of that has to do, though, with a lot of factors. And I really do believe this. And I'll make my pitch on the school shootings just because you bring it up. I think in general, the instant electronic media, all of the coverage we give these things, has made it very attractive for people to commit these elaborate suicides. And there's a rule in the media that you don't cover suicides. And you, if somebody's standing on a bridge over a highway, you don't get out the helicopters and float overhead and you don't watch them and you don't play that up because it only encourages other people to go out and do that. And I think that rule should have been applied a long time ago to these elaborate school shootings turned suicides. They're all just that type of thing. It's people trying to draw attention to their suicide. And I think that that's why they keep happening in clumps like that. But
well,
interesting thoughts. Go ahead.
You have the media age, and unfortunately you have no parents there to dictate as to what your children are watching.
Fair enough.
You know, but on another point on that, on the book, prior to his writing of the book, Behold a Pale Horse, he was ran off the road by unmarked sedans, William Cooper was, and his car rolled off of an embankment into a steep slope of some sort, and he was conscious enough to hear gentlemen standing over him saying, he's good as dead, leave him. He was virtually crippled by that. And in the book he states, I am writing this book to save my life, and if I die at the hands of a government official, you know that what I wrote is true. And the story that I read on the internet as far as his death goes was that he was alone in a motel room, supposedly belligerent, and supposedly had a gun, and a deputy went into the motel room with him, and the deputy is the only one that came out.
That's interesting. That's different than the other story about being found on the side of the road, so I'll have to look into that.
Just go to williamcooper.com.
All right, very good. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate that, and thank you, everybody. I like to learn new things, and I do remember part of his story, but I think that there may be time maybe for a William Cooper expert maybe in the months ahead. Hal is in Edmonton, Canada, on Coast to Coast AM for Open Lines. Hal?
Yes. I'm calling today about something very scary I saw. I originally didn't believe it. My brother first saw it. My brother's 14 years old, and I guess you'd say he has an imagination, but one evening we were going down, we were waiting in the subway, and it was about 10 o'clock in the evening after we went to the mall, but I was bringing him home, and my brother, he came, he was, you know, we had to wait in the subway for a while for the right train to come, so my brother just walking back and forth down the subway, the waiting area of the subway. And all of a sudden, I heard him scream, and I'm like, what happened? And I run to where he is, and he's like, Hal, I just saw this ghost. And I didn't believe him. I thought he was just joking around. And a few minutes passed, and he's shaking, but I think he's, part of me, of course I don't believe him. I really don't believe in the super, at least up until that time, I didn't believe into supernatural things. But a few minutes passed, and, well, somewhat before the train came, I felt something really hot behind me, like there was a fire close to me. So I turned around, and there was this three-dimensional black, scary thing standing, I'd say, like 15 feet in front of me. And its face almost looked like some type of a gas mask from World War One or something like that. It was the creepiest thing I've ever seen, and I really haven't gotten much sleep since I've seen this.
How long ago was that?
This was 2 months ago.
Oh. Have you contacted any of your local paranormal investigators?
No, I probably wouldn't do that. Though,
why?
I don't know.
I think they would be interested in hearing them. I mean, if they're getting, that sounds a little bit more in the category of shadow person versus ghost story. But still, I think if you let them know, I think that might be, it might be a compelling investigation if you and your brother were willing to do it with them.
Yeah, I saw it for like a good 5 seconds in front of me. The first 2 or 3 seconds, I couldn't register. I didn't know what I was seeing, but then it snapped, and I all of a sudden just felt this fear, this evil, just horrible feeling. And, well, we got on the train after it disappeared, and we were scared, like he wouldn't believe, and we got on the train after that and went home shaking. And, well, people we tell don't believe us. One person believes, but no, like our parents don't believe us. And it was just the most horrible experience.
I imagine so. Well, I think one way, though, to add credibility to the story is to not just treat it like a story, and to use that if there's something that happened, to try to get somebody out there to look at it for you. And I imagine if you ask around a little bit in the Edmonton area, you're going to find somebody who does paranormal investigations, and run the story by them and see whether or not they may have heard from other people who have had a similar experience at that same train station. Did a show on train ghosts. So I know subway trains, kind of the same thing. And there was a kind of a theme to these train experiences, ghost trains and ghosts at train depot experiences. And so I think it's definitely worth investigating. Don't be scared of the outcome of that. Kevin is in Canada, too, on Coast to Coast AM. Kevin?
Hello, yes. Ian, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. Where are you going to take us?
Well, yes, I got to say that JC is a coward.
Why is that?
Because since October of last year, I have challenged JC here on the air. I've emailed him. I've challenged him on the Kevin Smith Show, and JC has not responded to my challenge yet.
Where's the Kevin Smith Show?
The Kevin. You've never heard of Kevin Smith?
I have not. Are you Kevin Smith?
No. Kevin Smith. He's got his own paranormal radio show. I call in there all the time too.
Okay.
But I have challenged.
Does JC call that show too?
He hasn't called it. No, as far as I know, he hasn't called it. He maybe has before, but I've tried.
I'd feel like he was cheating on us if he called another show.
Yeah, well, you see, I'm not an Oscar. I'm not Dimitri. If JC wants to have somebody to debate with, I'm the person. I've been here on Coast to Coast AM for a long time. I've been calling in since October. You've spoken with me before.
Right. Now, what's your position you want to take against JC? What is it that you want to debate him on?
Well, the fact that JC is a heretic to his own doctrine.
Okay. All right. And you want to prove that he's a heretic?
Yes, I do. And I can prove that he's a heretic.
Okay. And how would you be able to get a word in edgewise with JC?
Well, you see, JC, first of all, you know, he says that the Constitution is evil. He said that the Constitution is evil and whatnot. And yet, I remember when he called in one time, he said, well, I'm invoking my constitutional rights to freedom of speech. He called the freedom of speech, like, evil. Because
But Kevin, I didn't ask you that question. I said, how are you going to get a word in edgewise with JC? What's your strategy when you're talking with JC?
Well, it's hard to get in a word with JC anyway, but
that's what I'm saying. So what are you going to do?
Well, I'd say, you know what, if we're going to have a debate with JC, have somebody, you know, like referee the thing, like maybe you or George Norrie.
Like, I want to be in the middle of that. No, I when I'm talking to him, you know, I'm the one that I barely get. It's my dang show, and I barely get anything on.
Well,
you got to come up with a better strategy than that, or you're going to be like this. Here's my impersonation of Kevin from Canada. That's what you're going to get, Kevin.
Isn't there a way that you could put a guy on mute so the guy that's supposed to be it's his turn to talk? Can't you put the other guy on mute so the other guy can, you know, get his argument in?
I think all of JC's points are moot, actually. So, yeah, I mean, I think he starts there. I tell you what, here's what I want to offer you. Kevin, I'm going to put you on hold right now.
Okay.
And I'm going to throw out a line. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, I'll stay here.
Stay right there.
Okay.
I want to see if I can't make your fondest dream come true. No jive Kevin Smith could make this happen, but not me. I will see whether or not, if I can't get an open line right now, Kevin, and get JC to call coming up next. Are you ready to go?
Yes.
Are you ready
am.
For the Kevin JC SmackDown?
Yes, I am. Bring it on.
Okay.
Bring it on, baby.
All right. I'm putting you on hold right now. And then we'll see. I'm going to throw one open line right now. And we'll see if we can't clear a line. JC, call one of the wild card lines. And we'll clear a wild card line. JC, call the wild card lines if you're listening to us right now. And we'll get you coming up together again for the first time on Coast to Coast AM, in for George Norrie. This is Ian Punnett.